chapter 2. I want to preach a little bit about Christmas too. I know you got that last week, but this month isn't over yet. And the new year's not here until on Tuesday, amen? How many of y'all made your resolutions already, huh? Come on, raise your hand. Let me see. All right, one. The rest of you lying to yourself, huh? Okay, two. Okay, just remember one thing. Make it good and make it something that you can do, amen? Yeah, don't say, I'm going to quit smoking, I'm going to exercise more, I'm going to eat less, I'm going to do all these things, and then you don't do it, amen? So we need to get into the right perspective. I want to speak to you about two individuals in the Bible that get very little recognition. That's Simeon and Anna in chapter 2 of Luke. They were waiting, not just for Christmas, but they were waiting for the Messiah to show up. We talked about it's been 400 years between the time of Malachi and the book of Matthew. It gives you the genealogy of those that had come before. This Gospel of Luke, as you come across it, really should lift us up today with these two individuals. Have they waited? Have they anticipated? And have God delivered on His promise of the Messiah? Jesus Christ has just been sung about Emmanuel, God with us. God is always with us. Day in and day out, night, day, morning, whatever you want to look at, He is always present. But do we really recognize that? Simeon, you're going to find out, was a man that waited. He was a man that loved God. He was a man that turned his heart to Him many years ago. Anna, she was a lady too that also was a prophet, they talked about, a prophecy, they called her. And they talked about her also and how when her husband died that she went to the temple and that's where she lived the rest of her life, praying and fasting and seeking God's guidance. She was truly devoted to God Almighty. If you look at today and you think about what's going on in the world today, we better get back to what I call the basics of 101, putting God first in everything that we do. We have a tendency not to do that. We have a tendency to want to put Him over here, and when we're in trouble, what do? We call Him out and say, okay, Lord, now perform for me. I want you to understand something. God is here for you every day, not just to perform for you, but to give you the guidance that you need. And we have to be available, as we say, to do what God wants us to do. How many of y'all got exactly what you wanted for Christmas this year? Any of you? You did? Okay, good. All right. How many of you didn't? Come on, raise your hand. Let me see. There's one. Honesty helps. I went to Walmart the other day. You know where that return line is at? They must have wrapped around the store because they didn't get what they wanted. Amen. You see? You can buy and you can sell, you can take back, and you can do all kinds of things that you want during this time of year. But there's only one gift, and that's Christ. The most important gift in your life. The materialistic things of life are nice, but I can tell you what, they're not going to last forever. Christ lasts forever. Ever. Hear that? That word, forever. He's here today. Like you said, yesterday, today, and tomorrow, He'll be here. The things you have in life will be gone. But what about you? What is it that you want to do to change your life today to make it better for the coming year? Yes, I like Christmas. I like all the pomp. I like all the pretty lights and things, you know, that we see. But I also like it when it goes back to the way it was. Take it all down and put it away. Amen. But even during this time of season, even without the lights, we still worship God and His Son, Jesus Christ. I want to speak to you on this subject today. Simeon waiting for comfort. You got notes in your write up there if you look in your book, your bulletin. I always put the notes in there now to help you out. And we're going to talk about Anna and about forgiveness. And we're going to talk about a couple of other things along the way. But I want you to stand with me this morning in reverence to the reading of God's Word, looking at verse 22 through verse 38, chapter 2 of Luke. And I want you to listen very carefully to what God has to say. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem, talking about Jesus, to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law, it says, of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb, it says, shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And it came by the said Spirit unto the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he, it says, him up in his arms, and blessed God, and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, Jesus Christ, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. And to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled, it said, at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother. And I want you to listen very carefully to this part of the scripture, because to me it just tells everything to Mary that's going to happen to Jesus. And I imagine what she must have felt about this time. Behold, this child is set for the fall, the rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophet, it says, a daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 77 years, it says, and from her virginity. And she was a widow, it says, of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And she coming, it says, in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake to him, to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Remember those words, look for redemption in Jerusalem. Heavenly Father, as we come to you, thank you. I pray the message, Lord, will enlighten us to where we are today, how much you love us, how much you think of us, Lord, how much you want to work in us, Lord, if we're willing to be worked through by the Holy Spirit. Let us live that life as a companion with you as we should be. And may our lives always reflect one thing, that Christ is alive today. In his name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated this morning. When you think about Simeon for just a minute, here's a man that was waiting on the Lord. Now, how would you like to have been Simeon about this time? He's up in age, you know, things hadn't been going very well, I guess. Then all of a sudden, when the Lord came to him and spoke to the angel and says, guess what, Simeon? You're not going to die until you see the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. I wonder what kind of joy he must have felt inside to know that he's going to be around for a while, amen? But we didn't know how long he was going to be around, but we do know one thing. God directed him very plainly to stay where he was, to teach the people of that day and time. And he said very plainly in this text that he was going to what? To deliver on his promise. I think about God's promises over and over again. As we studied this morning in our Sunday school lesson, one thing that stood out to me is where it says, I will be with thee always, talking about Jacob and about the Lord himself. God will always be with us. He's here today. He'll be here tomorrow. He'll be here this afternoon, tonight. But he's always in our presence. The question is this, are you always in touch with him like you should be? Simeon was in touch. God sent the angel and spoke to him, and he said these words to him very plainly. He said, it will be revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not what see death before he had seen the Lord Jesus Christ. When you think about the Roman laws of that day and time and all that was going on within Israel and Jerusalem and all these places, it was a time of turmoil. There was a lot of ups and downs. You know, King Herod had only one thing on his mind during that Christmas season when Christ was born, to find that young child and to execute him. So what did he do when he couldn't find him? Every baby that was under the age of 2 was executed. They were killed. And we know that Joseph and Mary took Jesus and went to Egypt. You know, the Lord moved them away from that place. But even though the Lord had moved them just before they went, my friends, Simeon had the greatest answer of all. you will see the Christ child. Now, Simeon, you know, when you think about Simeon being in that place he was at in the temple and how much he loved the Lord, when that angel came and spoke to him, just like when God speaks to us through the Spirit, how many times do we really listen to what he has to say? Simeon could have said, oh, yeah, okay, fine, that's good, you know. He could have went about his way and not worried too much about it. But what did he do? Simeon contemplated from that day forth what God was going to do and how God was going to let him see this Christ child, and that after that was done, that he would be what? That he would finally die and go away. Realize something at this time of year. We celebrate the Christmas holiday. Last week, I know that Leslie must have preached on that. But every day to me is Christmas. And I say it because of this. Because every day is a day of Christ. Every day. And we should celebrate him every day. Oh, we get all up and down. Boy, we get all excited. Christmas is coming, you know. Going to run out, buy the gifts, do this, do that. Yeah, everything's going to be all hunky-dory, you know. January comes, the bill comes in, you get all upset because you got to pay all this money back. Amen. That's the life we live. That's the life we live. But Christ is the ultimate gift year-round. He's the only gift that really keeps on giving, doesn't he? He has given us salvation through his death on the cross. He has showed his love to us when he died and went through that tomb. He showed some greater love when he came out of that tomb and then ascended on high to be with his Father in heaven after 40 days on the earth. This is the Savior that I serve. This is the Savior that I worship. This is the Savior that I think about every day when I get up. And I think about him, why? Because I know one day I will meet him face to face just like Simeon did. I will see him for what he is. My Savior, the love of my life it should be. Yes, I'm married, I love my wife and everything else, kids and all that, but I love God and his Son even more. He's got to be number one in all that we do. Unless he's number one, you and I are not going to get too far in this life because he has to be first place. What does he say in the text to us? Well, let me read you a few more verses here because I want you to catch all of this morning. He was waiting on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it said this, Lord, now, he said, lettest thou thy servant, verse 29, depart in peace, according to what? Thy word. Thy word. Thy word. What does he say in the Bible? He said, take thy word to do what with it? Hide it in thy heart. You know, that's what you're supposed to do. Bring it back to remembrance, you know. It should be a light, a lamp unto your feet, it says. And that light that's in you, the love of Jesus Christ, should be shining in the world. And even during this time of season, that light should be shining through you. That radiant glow should be so good, my friends, that we can drown out the lights that are in this room. That's the way it should be. And putting him first. I read something interesting the other day. And I just want to bring it to light. Have you ever thought about when you ask God for something? Huh? You ever think about kids at Christmas time? I always like what they ask for. I wrote down some things that some children said that they wanted for Christmas. I want you to listen very carefully. This one little person said this. Dear Santa, when you come to my house, there will be cookies for you. There will be milk for you. But if you're real, real hungry, you can use our phone to call the pizza shop and go by and pick it up on the way out. Amen. Yeah, see what they were looking at, right? You know, Santa Claus, right? Here's another one. I like this. I've been good most of the time. Sometimes I'm wild. You ever get to that point? Dear Santa, this is from a four-year-old. I'll take anything. I like that one because this is what he said. I'll take anything because I haven't been that good. Amen. You know? You see what kids look for this time of year? They look for the things that can give that you can give to them. But they have their own mindset about things that they want and things that they do. The question is this. Looking at kids and looking at the Christmas time and the season, all that happened last week, how many of you really sat down and read the Christmas story? How many of you really sat down and contemplated what God had for us and what came when the Christ child came? It said that he came in to do what? To seek and save the lost. That he gave of his life. Isaiah said Emmanuel was coming, God with us. The New Testament said Emmanuel is coming, and he came, God with us. And the same God that Simeon looked at, the Emmanuel, is still the same God that is with us today, has never left us. He is still here. That's what we got to understand. That God that loves you so, so much. So the question for you is this morning. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for in your life right now? Well, I'm too old to wait on anything. I'm just waiting to die. Let me tell you what. You need to wait on one thing, and that's this. To spend more time with Jesus Christ this year than you did last year. Wait on his presence. Let him come into you. Let him talk to you. Let him commune with you. Let him spend time with you. Boy, you'll have a better life, I can tell you that. And when that old Satan raises his head up, that old snake we talk about, as soon as he does, all you got to do is take the clippers and cut it off, right? Lord, you with me? Lord, I know you're with me. You're going to help me through this day. Wonderful time of year. But it's a sad time of year. Don't know why? People get depressed. You ever think about that? They get depressed. More suicides during this time of year than any time. They think people don't love them. People don't care about them. There's a lot of people in this world today that are hurting right now. Hurting all over this world. And we as Christians, my friends, should be praying for them. Because it's not just the lost people of the world. There are many Christians that are hurting today in this world from bouts of depression, things not going well, wondering what's going to happen next. Let me tell you what. If Christ had been centered in their lives, in our Christian lives, my friends, we wouldn't have to worry too much. Why? Because God's going to take care of it from the beginning to the end. And in the end, you will be victorious anyway. Sometimes we got to go through the fires of life to get out the other side so he can purify us to make us who we need to be. Simeon, look at him, what he did. He said this. He said, thou hast prepared for the face, he said, of all people. Who? The Lord Jesus Christ is coming? Yes. The Lord Jesus Christ is here? Yes. I have seen him? Yes. He's preparing the way? Yes. He's coming again? Yes. He's going to take us home? Yes. All this thing is yes. Everything he does is a yes. And he gives us that because of the love he has for us each and every day. So Simeon, he was waiting for the comfort of the Lord to come. Well, how about Anna? How would you ladies like to have been Anna? Spending all your life in the temple from the time her husband died for 40-some years, 80-some years, really. 84, what's that, 84? That she'd been in this temple, praying day and night, fasting. How hard is it for us to fast between one meal and the next? Tough. I like my potato chips. I like my Doritos. You know, I like a good cheese sandwich once in a time. I had two last night before I went to bed. Amen. I was hungry. You know? But are we hungering and thirsting for the right thing? Are we hungering and thirsting after God's righteousness? You got to remember this. You know, when Christ died for us, and when you accepted him as Lord and Savior, what happened? Your sins were imputed into him. His righteousness was imputed into you. And you became a new creature. And that new creature that's in you is called the Holy Spirit of God indwelled in you. And we need to share that. We need to share that. What did Anna do? Anna prayed. She fasted. She prayed. She fasted. She prayed and she fasted. Year after year, day after day, month after month. She did this. Why? Because she was seeking the Lord in her life. And you want to know why she was seeking the Lord? Look at verse 38 with me. Look at verse 38. It says it all right here. It says, Anna herself, look, and she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto who? Unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. What was she praying for? Salvation for the people, that they would come to know Christ, that redemption in their lives. You see, we need to pray the same thing. We need to pray for people who do not know Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior, the lost of this world that need Christ. Even during the holiday season, people need Jesus, amen? We need Jesus. We can't live our lives as Christians without him. We need him 100% of the time, every single day that we live. Simeon knew that. Anna knew that. She gave her whole life to serving the Lord. Sometimes we can't even give 1 hour of one day in a week to serve God. That's pitiful, isn't it? Yeah, I went to church on Sunday. I spent an hour there. I feel so good about what I've done. Let me tell you what, you haven't done a thing. You're only doing what you're required to do, as the Bible teaches us, that we're to do what? Not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as some do, my friends. We're to come together in the body of Christ to share Jesus Christ and to take it to a lost world. But we don't get past the front door. And we've already forgot what the preacher said. We've already forgot what the Bible teaches us. I don't have time. What if God didn't have time for you? What if he didn't have time for you? In the book of Malachi, it says, you know, it's the son of righteousness I preached on before I went on vacation, right? But think about it for just a minute. 400 long years and Christ and God didn't say a word to anybody. Nothing. Mum's the word. He didn't say a thing. Well, what if he had not sent his son? It would still be thousands of years. We're blessed that God sent his son when he did, at the right time, on the right day, at the right moment. He sent him. We celebrate December 25th. That isn't the exact day, but we celebrate that day because it sounds good, I guess. But Christ's birthday is every day. Christ is every day in what we do. You see, Jesus provides everything that we need in life. He provided for Simeon. He provided for Anna. He provides for you and he provides for me. He gives us the opportunity to share what we have with others today. When he came, he provided what? He provided everything for us in this life that we have. If you go back and look for just a minute, he talks about in this text here about how much God loved him to send his son to die for him, just like he sent him for us. How many of us can identify with Simeon of waiting on the Lord? How many of us can identify with Anna, looking for forgiveness when we do wrong? We have a hard time asking for forgiveness, don't we? You remember the show called Happy Days? Huh? How many of y'all remember that show, Happy Days? How many of you remember old Fonzie? Remember Fonzie? Motorcycle dude, you know, hair slicked back, you know, and clap his fingers, you know, or something, you know, and the jukebox would play or change the tune. You know, he had it. But there's one thing he didn't have. If you watch that show, he didn't have this. Because he was into himself. And that self did what for him? Absolutely nothing. But everybody looked at him. Everybody lifted up to him. Everybody praised him. When he come in, oh, Fonzie's here. He's at the front door. Let me ask you this question about Fonzie. What did he do? What did he do? Rode a motorcycle, ate hamburgers, chased women, you know? That was his life. But in the end, if you look at the story, right, what did that life really give him? Absolutely nothing. People today live the same way. They like to go out. We like to drive the fancy cars. We like to eat the food. We like to share and fellowship and all this kind of stuff. But sometimes we don't have what we need. And that part is Jesus Christ. How many times do you sit in a restaurant somewhere and you see people and you're trying to pray, right? And they just get louder when you want to pray. Huh? Have anybody come up to you and say, why are you praying? What are you praying about? I'm praying and thanking God for what he's given to me, the blessings of life, you know. Oh, I don't believe that stuff. I don't believe that stuff. What if Simeon had said, I don't believe he's coming? What if Anna said, I don't need to be in this temple. I don't need to be fasting and praying. I don't need to be doing anything. I'm just going to go live my life. I'm another man. I'm going to be happy forevermore. Wrong. The only happiness that you and I can have in this life is Christ. Number one is Christ. He's the only one that can make life right. Even when you're in the dumps and things aren't going well, you seek him, he will make things right. But you say, well, preacher said, I want it to be right now. Let me tell you what, it's on his time frame, not yours. Because he teaches us to wait on the Lord. He teaches us that word called patience that we don't like. I'm not a patient person, are you? I want instantaneous reaction and results in things. Well, let me give you a few little action steps before I close this morning. Think about Simeon and think about Anna. But think about this. Look back with me to verse, Let's go back to verse 32. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. This is what's going to happen now. And Joseph and his mother did what? What's the word? Marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Boy, have you ever marveled at anything? Huh? Have you ever been a marveler, they call it? Not really an English word because you add the E-R, you can't find it anywhere, but, you know, sometimes you think it's there. But let me tell you what. We're to be filled with wonder, astonishment, and surprise. Wonder, astonishment, and surprise. Wonder if he's coming. Sure he is. Were they anticipating it? Sure they were. Were they surprised when he came? Yes, they were. 400 years of absence, and all of a sudden, boom, there he is. Right on the scene, Johnny on the spot. Do you ever marvel after what God does? Have you ever marveled and say, thank you, Lord? So first of all, you need to be a marveler. You got to be marveled at what's going on. The second thing is you need to be a mover. You know, you got to get up and do something. Huh? How many of y'all went to family for dinner on Christmas? How many of y'all went? Okay. You're sitting in the other room, you know, you're talking, you're doing this, and all of a sudden they say, dinner's ready! Mad dash, right? Mad dash, isn't it? I bet you one thing, you move faster than you have all year long trying to get to the meal, amen. We'll call movers. You know what a mover is for the Lord? Somebody gets up and does something for Jesus Christ. That's what a mover is. Someone that's willing to take up his time and talent to serve Jesus Christ. That's a mover. We got to start moving. We got to start living our life to the fullest potential God has given to us. And there's something else, too, that I can mention. You wonder what that is? God's love. God's love. Think about it for just a minute. Do you marvel at what God has done? Do you move when he tells you to move? Do you anticipate his great love that he has for you and that he had for me? I'm in awe to see what God has done. I'm in awe every time I open this book. You want to know why? Because God has sent me a letter that's for me. See that? It's for me. It's for me. If I was the only one on earth, it would be for me to help me. And when you look at the Bible, you read the Bible, you study the Bible, it is for you to live by daily. To walk, to talk, to share the gospel message, to reflect it, to be marveled over what he has done, to move on what God tells us to do. And we need to be shakers too. My friend, we need to shake this world up. It's gone so far in the cesspool now, I don't think it's going to get out unless we dynamite it, amen. We got to shake the world up. Why? Because Christ needs to be the center of this nation and the world that we live in. Yes, we can have Christmas, you can have a new year coming in, you can have all the holidays that you want. But it's nothing compared to what Christ has done and the service he has given to us. In 33 and a half short years, he gave it all so that we could have all. I'm a believer. Amen? The monkeys used to sing that song, I'm a believer, you know, they used to sing it, right? Well, I'm not a believer like they were talking about. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, Savior of the world. Has given me life, given me hope, given me better understanding, because he is way, truth, and life. And no man can change that. And no man can go into the Father unless they go through him, because he is the one. Oh, yeah, we'll celebrate some more days. We'll celebrate coming up on Tuesday morning. A lot of y'all will celebrate on Monday night, you know. Some of you have the sparkly wine. Some of you will have a beer. Some of you have whiskey. You'll do all kinds of things to make yourself say, I'm happy and merry, amen. You know, next morning you wake up and you don't feel too happy and merry, do you? Huh? Been there, done that, know what I'm talking about. You know? Celebration. Boy, when I was in the Navy before I got saved, well, we'd celebrate everything. You know, I didn't care what it was. Saturday morning, we'd go celebrate. Amen. Weekends here. We'd celebrate everything. But we didn't celebrate when I was lost. I didn't celebrate Jesus. I'd celebrate a six-pack, 12-pack, whatever. That was my celebration. And the next day when I woke up, my head was about this big. And I said, what did I do last night? And people say, you really don't want to know. That's the life that I used to live. But nowadays, I can wake up on a New Year's Day and say to myself, thank you, Lord, I've got a new year. And I feel good. You know? I don't have a big head. I went to bed at 11:55. I didn't see the new year come in. Amen. I haven't seen the new year come in the last 20 years. But it was still New Year's when I got up. Amen. Same effect. What about him? What are you going to make new in your life this year for Christ? What are you going to change in your life to make you a stronger Christian? What are you going to do? First thing you need to do is to get right with him. That's what you need to do. Or you may be a sinner, so I'm right already. Let me ask this question. How right are you? How right are you? Huh? Got a little bit of Jesus. Huh? Got a little bit of Jesus. I got a little bit of Jesus on Sunday. I got a little bit on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I forget about him. I move on. If you do not live by the whole counsel of God, then you don't have what you say you have. Because the Bible teaches me one thing. I am to love the Lord thy God with all my heart, all my soul, with all my might, all this being that I am. That's how I'm to love him. And if I can't show that love year after year, day after day, then I've got a problem. You know what the problem is? I'm not as close to him as I think I am. Because if you're as close to God as you say you are, nothing will keep you away from him no matter what. Because every day you'll start your day with him centered in your life. And you will end that day with him centered in your life. You see, we need Christ. You need him and I need him, and I know that. Well, you're a preacher. That don't mean a thing. I'm a human being just like you. I have faults and failures just like you. And I know who to turn to when I do fail. And that's him. He is my God. He is your God. He is my redeemer, my salvation. He is everything to me. And I better start sharing more of it, just like all of us should. Don't let this year go by that's coming up and say, I'll just start off like I did last. Started off on a positive attitude that the world's going to get better because Christ is coming back again. And I pray he'll come today. If he doesn't, maybe he'll come tomorrow. But when he comes, I'm ready. Are you?